You're listening to The Point. The Woods Hole Film Festival brings a wide selection of independent, documentary, feature, and short films to the Cape each summer. And because it's in person and virtual, you can catch a film wherever you might be. This year's festival runs July 27th through August 3rd. Later in the hour, we talk with filmmakers Liz Witham and Ken Wentworth about their documentary on the endangered right whale. But first, we discuss another documentary in the lineup, The Body Politic. The film follows an idealistic young mayor with an ambitious plan to stop chronic violence in the city of Baltimore. Joining us is the film's director, Gabriel Goodenough. Welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
Great.
Good morning.
So, I'm so curious about this. Brendan Scott, youngest mayor ever in Baltimore, Maryland. I think he was 37 when he was first elected. You started following him before he was elected. He was the underdog, not really expected to win. This was kind of a come from behind win for him, big part due to younger voters. I think it was like 10,000 new voters in that race. What led you to his story?
That's a great question. So we started actually filming in the fall of 2019, and we're hopefully going to make a relatively simple election film. There were four candidates that were the primary candidates in the race. Brandon, a former mayor named Sheila Dixon, a gentleman named Thiruv Ignaraja, and TJ Smith. Each one of them was vying for the top spot. And we just thought we were going to make Baltimore's version of Street Fright, which was a documentary that came out in the early 2000s about Cory Booker running for the mayor of Newark, New Jersey. But then quickly the world changed. COVID happened. George Floyd was murdered, and it became apparent that we were making a different story. And at that point, really pretty much around May of the following year, it was when George Floyd was killed. It became clear that things were changing in America. Things were changing in Baltimore. And that we wanted at that point to focus on whoever won as mayor, right? So whoever was going to get into office, we were going to follow.
Right.
But everything changed in days.
Yeah. And Brendan's slogan when he's running is a new way forward. 300 murders in Baltimore every year for the last 30 years. He wanted to change all that. But what a challenge.
100%. Violence in the United States is a 400-year-old problem. There's been multiple different places in our country that have had a tougher time dealing with it. Baltimore, unfortunately, is one of them. It's my hometown. It's where I grew up. It's where my mom was born and grandmother. And it's always been the issue in our city is violence, specifically gun violence. And multiple mayors and other leaders have tried to pull that sword from the stone. And I think really it got down to how we try to deal with problems in the United States, right? Mm-hmm. We often want to deal with things in very reactionary ways. And it seemed like that wasn't working, right? If you look at the numbers, it wasn't working.
Right. And I mean, Brendan he's got a lot of grit and determination. Interesting. He tells the story that he was like 7 or 8 when his mother had said, "You want to see change, you have to do it yourself." And he never forgot that. What I loved about him is he wasn't thinking about his political future. He wasn't thinking about what other people wanted him to do. He was really doing this like from his heart, a love of the city. And he really wanted to change. And his goal was to get that first year, the number down 15%. He wanted 15%, but things didn't look like they were going in that direction.
They didn't. And I think was probably the big learning lesson for Brandon and for all of us. I think Brandon specifically set the goal high. You know, I think you often do that in life as a way to keep yourself going. But it really would a big thing that I learned making the film is how violence works. You know, violence is contagious, right? Mm-hmm. And there might be murder or things happening in Baltimore today that are related to traumas and shootings that happened in the 1990s, right? So violence is a very contagious thing. Mm-hmm. So to get at the root causes of that, can't be done in the snap of a finger. And I think Brandon learned that very quickly. And I think that's something we've been learning all across the United States. You know, Baltimore is not the only city that's done this. Multiple cities have done it, but big challenge is politics. Politics and need for rapid, quick snap of your fingers change is often what gets in the way of this type of work.
Yeah, it was so frustrating watching the film and the governor at the time, Governor Hogan, not meeting with the man, but criticizing what he's doing without even really knowing what the plan was. That was incredible. I'm sure it was incredibly frustrating for Brendan and his team as well. And I found it interesting that the number one cause of violence wasn't, you'd think, gang related or, you know, drug related. It was interpersonal disputes.
I mean, that's where specifically at this time in COVID, I think those type of violent interactions rose, right? Just in general, you know, Baltimore specifically has never been an organized gang kind of city. But I think that those are numbers that across the board have been shown, right? That it's things as simple as beefs on social media that escalate into somebody getting shot. And then somebody gets shot, somebody wants to retaliate for that, right? Like, you shot my brother, I'm gonna shoot your other family relative. And then it just escalates and escalates and escalates. You know, it could be fights over romantic partners, right? So that's really where the numbers pointed to. So it's really just how people are being able to manage your interpersonal relationships that was one of the biggest challenges to violence reduction.
And for Brendan, who has this plan, he has this idea, and I'm just thinking back with the governor's criticizing him and saying, oh, he wants to defund the police. And that wasn't what he was doing at all. But the governor was making it this political thing. And Brendan had it. He had a good plan, right? And the Safe Streets program, and he had people coming in trying to de-escalate some of these situations, like let's not retaliate, trying to talk people into not retaliating. And that, when you have a plan like his plan, you don't get results overnight. And people wanted results overnight, and they wanted it citywide. So even when he focused on one section of the city where that was the most murders and did see some success there, the other parts of the city go, nope, unacceptable.
100%. You know, I think, I mean, we're about to go into, we're already in a national election cycle, right? I think it's one of the great, you know, tricks, I guess, you know, is promising people you're going to change the world, here and now change, when it doesn't work like that. You know, nothing works like that. You know, it's change in general, especially good, important change, takes time, and it's built on solid ground.
Yeah. What's been the reaction from folks who've seen the film, especially in Baltimore? Yeah.
We have shown the film all over the world. We've shown it in three continents. We've shown it, I think, 8 or 9 times in Baltimore. We've sold out the biggest theater in the city. We sold out the second biggest screen, so much so that they had to add another screen. We've gotten standing ovations. People have cried. It's been amazing. It's been really amazing to be able to look at violence in a different way in the city of Baltimore. And I think it's really, really connected with people. So it's been unbelievable.
Yeah. What is it that you hope people take away from the film? You know, here at the Woods Hole Film Festival, what are you hoping that people who come to see this film walk away with?
I hope people understand how violence works and how maybe unviolence works, right? Like, we've been for, you know, multiple generations in this country, studying violence as a public health issue. It's multiple cities have used this way of looking at violence and reducing violence, but it's often got caught in the rudder of political dysfunction. So I would love a point at one point in our country where every city's have this type of agency. Just like a city has a police department, a city has a community focused violence department or a public health focused violence reduction department, right? Like this is something that works, right? We are having to get at the root causes of violence in this country. Obviously, the way we've done it for generations or for centuries hasn't worked. I would like people to really think differently about violence and think differently about how we reduce violence.
One of the characters in your movie, and I cannot remember her name, but she goes around to the places where there's been a shooting, and she's got the sage, and she's doing the healing thing, and her whole thing is, I'm going to bring love to this spot. Talk a little
Yeah,
about her, yeah.
her name is Erica Bridgeford. She's a co-founder of a group that's called in the film, it's called Baltimore Ceasefire. They've just changed her name to the Baltimore Peace Movement because they really wanted to be able to focus on their goal, which is peace, more than even gun reduction, gun violence reduction. Erica is an amazing spiritual force in the city of Baltimore. She leads something called the Peace Weekend, which is, 4 times a year they ask the people of Baltimore just to think about what they can do to bring positivity into the city and not only not harm other people, but not harm themselves. And it works. Violence during peace weekends has been shown to drop 40% in the city. And Erica, in many ways, also serves as a spiritual leader to the mayor and multiple people in the city of Baltimore. And all of that comes out of the fact that Erica herself started the movement after her brother was murdered, right? So this is all for her, it's a way of healing, right? But that's a huge, huge part of it. A huge part of it is where your mind is at and putting your mind in a point of positivity and healing. And I think Erica in the film helps remind us that, hey, it's going to take years. And during that process, we need to stay positive and we need to stay focused on being healthy.
And there's a little bit in the film that I thought was really interesting, where there's a reporter who comes up and asks a question, but at really putting a narrative on that question. And I love the way she turns that around.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could even had Erica's verbal skills, but there's, the media has been a big part of it, right? There's an industry of people focusing on the trauma as a way to sell commercials and a way to get listeners to tune in. And Erica questions a reporter that comes up to her about being part of that process. And it's a really amazing thing to watch because Erica really spins the conversation. The reporter first gets upset with her for not answering the question. And then Erica really lays it out and it says, hey, you and what you're doing are part of the problem. If you want to get out here and put the microphone down and be part of the solution, please join us. But right now you're being part of the problem. And it was an amazing thing to watch because I'd never seen anything like that before in my life.
The film is The Body Politic. Film's director, Gabriel Goodenough. Thanks so much for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you. It's really gonna be amazing. Please come out and see the film. It's Friday, August 2nd at 6:15 at the Woods Hole Film Festival. We hope to see you there. I'll be there in person, and Dante, one of the violence interrupters from the film, will be there in person also.
I'm sure it's going to be a great conversation after. Coming up after break, we discuss another film in the Woods Hole Film Festival, Follow the Journey, a documentary tracing the path of seven right whale mothers and their calves from Florida to the Canadian Maritimes. You're listening to The Point. North Atlantic right whales are critically endangered. According to NOAA, there are fewer than 360 individuals with approximately 70 breeding females. Follow the Journey is a new film that follows seven whale mothers and their newborn calves from Florida to the Canadian Maritimes. The film also introduces us to teams of biologists, disentanglers, survey teams, and Indigenous leaders as they work tirelessly to save the species from extinction. The film will be screened at this year's Woods Hole Film Festival, and we welcome filmmakers Liz Witham and Ken Wentworth. Hi.
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 So you are Science on the Screen fellows at this Woods Hole Film Festival this year. So Ken, tell us more about that distinction.
We've actually been Science on the Screen fellows with the Woods Hole Film Festival for a few years now since we began this project. And Judy's been very helpful to us in that way. And so we're really glad to be able to show an early cut of the film at this point in this kind of venue is working with the Woods Hole Film Festival, and be able to show that part of the filmmaking process and how it goes.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to add to that that we're lucky, we're Science on the Screen filmmakers, and also Woods Hole is really important to the film. There are a lot of scientists from Woods Hole who are in the film, from HUI, NOAA, Center for Coastal Studies on the Cape. So it's really exciting to be able to bring that, bring this film to this community in particular as
Yeah.
part of the Science on the Screen.
Liz, your documentary film company is Film Truth. So tell us more about why you founded the company and what topics and projects draw you in.
So we founded the company back in, I think, 2003 it was. And we've sort of followed our own journey with the company. We have done social issue films, we've done criminal justice and health and well-being. And then we started doing a lot of environmental work. We became really interested in environmental issues and biodiversity and habitat loss and
I'd say in nature, in showing nature, in trying to foster human nature connection through our films.
So your latest project is Follow the Journey about the North Atlantic right whale, and the film starts on scene as a team disentangles a right whale. And you know, we hear how dangerous disentanglement is, but it's not until we see the disentanglement team in action that you get an appreciation for how quickly things could go wrong. Describe what's happening in that opening scene.
So in that scene, there is a whale named Ruffian who's actually really well known to the right whale community. He's had many sightings up and down the East Coast. And it starts in off the coast of Cumberland Island in Georgia, where the film starts in the calving grounds. And those teams, Florida Fish and Wildlife and Georgia Department of Natural Resources, have a very well-trained team of disentanglers who have gone out to disentangle this whale Ruffian, and they are successful. So what we were able to do is cut together the plane and how the aerial team spots the whales, and how they work with the boat teams, and just how, what an operation it is to safely approach the whale and disentangle it.
Yeah. As we said, the whale doesn't know you're trying to disentangle it, right? So these opening minutes of the film also illustrate why entanglement is so serious to the whales. So describe the gear that was attached to the whale.
Well, in that case there, it was a crab pot from Canadian waters, and Ruffian had dragged that crab pot all the way down the east coast of the United States and Canada. That's all I can really say about that. It was, 6 feet in diameter, hundreds of pounds, and if that team had not come across the whale, he surely would have died.
Yeah. Everyone involved in saving the whales talks about the challenges of working in such a dynamic environment. And now, as filmmakers, you're working in this environment. Talk about some of the challenges of filming and how this project was different from other films that you've created in the past.
Well, I'll start out with we thought a film about the right whales was a really great way of talking about humanity's relationship with nature and how it's evolved over time. And then when it came to the practical ability of actually filming an endangered species, you can't get within, 500 yards of it. They don't know where they are at any given time. And so there's a lot of challenges in that regard. But one thing that became clear, and as we, it started working with all the various groups that are studying the whales, is that all the footage and all the materials and documentation that they've been gathering, for the last 50 years, and the 85,000 records they have of these whales, that had never really been taken to really tell the stories of these individual individual whales' lives. So in some cases, we were able to go out on boats and put cameras on planes. But in a lot of cases, they had GoPros on their helmets. So we're able to use that footage, and it appears that you're right there with the whales.
Did you have to use the federal license numbers for getting, because these people have licenses to get close to the whales, right?
Yes, we have. We absolutely have to. So there will be a notation on the film that because NOAA is very, serious as they should be about they don't you have to have a special permit to get
Right, to get
close.
close, yeah. Now, we live in a place that keeps us connected to the ocean and its inhabitants, but there are millions of people who may not have even heard of right whales, much less their plight. As you made the film, who was the audience that you had in mind?
So, that's a really good question. And it's not just for people who are interested in whales, although there are a lot of people who are really interested in whales in general. And actually, we live on Martha's Vineyard. And one thing that we have noticed is that even though we live on an island, there's not a lot of information or education here about whales and species, marine species living in the ocean. So we had a broad audience of people who are generally interested in nature and interested in whales, but we also wanted to make sure that people in coastal communities could connect with this animal, because one thing that's really important to us in this film is that people need to understand the animal and have a relationship with it before they make decisions about it on its behalf, or even in conceptualizing what this animal is. And so that was sort of where we started
I
with it.
think too, there's so many people who don't realize. I mean, it's such an awful, gruesome death that these right whales go through when they're entangled like that, and it's hard to get people to understand, right? So, as a documentary filmmaker, I imagine you learn a lot over the course of making the film. Was there something in particular you learned about right whales or the efforts to save them that's stuck with you? I'm going to ask you each that question. Liz, you first.
One thing that was really, really interesting to me personally in the filmmaking process was seeing how much information the people who study the whales have. It's actually, it's an endangered species, it's in the water, and you'd think this is impossible to study, but the right whale community has studied this whale. They have collaborated and shared information about this whale, and because of that, you are able to put together the life histories of individual whales, which was one of the most surprising things to me, to be able to know an individual whale, how old it is, how many offspring it's had. That was really, really amazing. And then on one hand, it's, you think about the hardship and the travesty of the loss of the whales. But on the other hand, the people who are working with the whales are so devoted and dedicated to saving them that that is really inspiring.
Yeah, Ken.
Oh, she took my answer. No, I'm just kidding in a way, but it was just an amazing to meet so many members of a particular community and so many biologists who've made it their life to study nature and how it works. And that was a really amazing thing. But another part of it was that we really studied the history of the study of the whales and of whaling and all of that. And how science has evolved over time to better understand nature, and how that information coming to the public has helped evolve how humanity views its place within nature, and the importance of biodiversity and the importance of life on Earth.
Had either of you seen right whales before you started the film project? Had you ever had an encounter with a right whale before that?
I don't think so.
No.
No.
The reason I'm asking is I'm thinking, you know, in the winter when they're here in Cape Cod Bay, you can actually get pretty close to them on land when you're out in Provincetown and in a couple of different areas. And I'm just thinking the experience I had the first time I saw them, it was just magical. And I just wondered if you had that same kind of feeling the first time you actually saw one up close.
Absolutely. Yeah, the first right whale that we saw up close was a whale named Frida, 3317, with her calf. And that's the scene in the film where they got a genetic sample from the calf in order to send up to Nova Scotia. And it was just so beautiful. It was such a calm, flat day. And we went out with Georgia Department of Natural Resources, and you see this. You can't really conceptualize how large of an animal this is, and then to hear it breathing, the breath, the cavernous, in, out, and you realize this is a mammal. There's something about the breath that really connects you.
Yeah, it was it just such a profound experience that when I breathed it the sound waves actually rattled your chest. You could feel it breathe. It was like, wow, you know.
And it was there with its calf, and just to see the mother who's traveled all this way to give birth to the calf and this new life. It's just that was something.
Follow the Journey will be screened as part of the Woods Hole Film Festival. Are you taking it to other festivals, or will it be broadcast at some point? Getting the film in front of as many people as possible might go a long way to helping the plight of the right whale, right?
Absolutely. That's our plan. So this, what we're showing at the festival, this is actually the first audience that will ever see the film. And it's an early cut. So the story's there, and we're still finishing it. So it's what we call an early cut, or a rough fine cut
There's
of the film.
animation that'll be swapped out, sound edits and other edits to the film still.
And then we're definitely taking it. We're going to do a tour with it. And if people are interested in signing up and looking for screenings, they can go to our website, Follow the Journey.
One of the things that's been great is that as we made the film, we were working with all of these incredible organizations, and the film highlights their work. So we look forward to screening it up and down the coast and along with people that we've worked with and other organizations.
Liz Witham and Ken Wentworth co-directed the new documentary Follow the Journey, being screened at the Woods Hole Film Festival. And we remind listeners that the festival offers in-person and virtual screening so that you can take in films wherever you are. We'll post a link with more information about the film and the Woods Hole Film Festival that runs July 27th through August 3rd at our website, capeandislands.org. Liz and Ken, thanks so much for being with us, and thank you for doing the film.
Thank you.
I'm Indy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.